Say, first of all, I certainly appreciate being here, and I appreciate this session this morning, Brother Andre, and I remember fondly Brother Andre Wright as a teenager, just 18, 19 out of high school, and like he said, he would help me a lot with the teenagers, and we would take trips together, and we went to Bahamas, and we raised money, and do a lot of things together, and so I'm glad to see he's faithfully here, 11 young people serving him. And giving back what's been invested in him. And that's a thrill for me. I met a little boy here today, a young fellow. He's about 11 or 12. And I led his mother to the Lord 25, 30 years ago. And he's here. He came out and said, "Hey, Pastor Sebro." And I said, "What's your name, son?" And he told me his name. And then I remember who he was. And I remember his mom. I remember I led his mom to the Lord on a Saturday on a bus route when she was about 11 or 12 years old. And now she's an adult, and he's 11 and 12, and he's here in the youth conference. And now those kind of things excite me as a aging saint of God. And so I look out at this congregation, these young folk that are here, the youth pastors and youth directors, and I'm excited. I'm thrilled to see what's happening here. I was excited about the young people that were saved. There was a young lady here that I was excited that she got saved, and I know her mom and dad, and she came over and gave a big old hug, but I'm just glad that everybody that got saved. Glad for the preaching of the Word of God, Brother Skelly and Pastor Clark last night, and what you've heard already and been stirred. And let me ask you a question before I have you stand. We're going to read a passage of Scripture, at least a few verses of Scripture. And how many people are tired this morning? Okay. All right, that's good. All right. Me too. All right. Some people got about two hands. I got two hands. Well, that's okay. I won't keep you very long. And if you fall asleep, don't worry about it. I'll get somebody to wake you up. I'll come down and wake you up. And I'll keep looking around. I already saw one young man in the bathroom. He was washing his face with water. And I was in there. He said, "I don't want to go to sleep." I said, "Okay, what's your name?" He told me his name. I said, "Okay, good. Got my eye on you, so I'll make sure you don't go to sleep." But anyway, you may be a little tired. And I am not a lot, but I'm thankful to be here, and I'm glad to be saved, glad to be in a place where you can hear the preaching and teaching the Word of God. I'm going to try to help you this morning, and we've heard about hell and the reality of it. It's a real place, and I have a list when I preach on hell about it's a real place, but it's for real people. And I talk about the folks that are going there, like moms and dads and sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and nephews and grandmas and grandpas. And your mailman and your nurse and your doctor and all the folk that you know, kings and queens and presidents, are going to go to that place. And we've heard about that. We thank God for those who were saved as a result of it. And the thing about preaching on hell is this. I've learned that you most of the time we don't preach on it because we don't do a whole lot about it. And so we kind of find it difficult to preach on sometimes because we don't do as much about it as we ought to do about it. And another thing is this. I've learned this also. Is that when someone preaches on hell, the remnants of that goes on for more than just the service where the message is preached. You'll find out in weeks and months to come that message that Brother Skelly preached, folks will still be getting saved as a result of the preaching of the Word of God. Because there's something about preaching about hell that kind of sticks in the craw of those that hear that message. And they may not have gotten saved last night or Wednesday night, but in time, some people still get saved as a result of hearing that message about hell. And I remember at a youth conference, a young lady, 12 years old, didn't want to go to youth conference, didn't want to go to the meeting down in Walkertown, North Carolina at that time. She didn't want to go, and her parents made her go, paid her way. And at midnight, I think the pastor preached on hell, at midnight she came knocking on our door, says, "I want to get saved. I don't want to die and go to hell." And my wife and I led her to the Lord, and we are thankful for that. Matthew chapter number 4. The theme of this comes to first responders. I'm going to try to help how I can this morning. And I don't have a dynamic preacher message, but I have a man who was a dynamic preacher that we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. But I want to show you some things here, and hopefully you'll learn and listen along with me, and we'll learn together. And I'm just thankful for the privilege to be here and see what is happening at Crossroads Baptist Church and just the Spirit of God working among the folk here. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 12. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came, dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. I'm in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 14 now. Verse 15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shouted of death, light has sprung up. Verse number 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Father, we thank you, we praise you for who you are. We ask you to help us, Lord, this day and this morning. I know that we may be fatigued, may be tired, some of us, some more than others. But Lord, we thank you for the Spirit of God that has worked already in this place. We thank you for those that have been saved. Thank you for the preaching of the Word of God. I've needed what I've heard and I've been stirred. And I thank you, Lord, for the message even last night where the Apostle Paul was stirred in his spirit about the condition of a city that needed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I pray this morning that you stir the hearts of these your saints and these that, Lord, even there may be yet some that are lost and without a saving knowledge of Christ, that their hearts might be stirred, they might be convicted of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And we're thanking and praise for all you do now in this time you're given to preach and teach the word of God. Use me, Lord, as a vessel. Empty me of selfishness, sinfulness, any motive that might not be pleasing to you, and that you might, Lord, speak to the hearts of these your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, just wait, by way of introduction, first responders are people with specialized training. They're among the first to arrive and provide assistance at the scene of an emergency. It can be an accident. We heard that Brother Skelly described an accident where somebody burned to death. It can be a natural disaster, like Katrina in 2005 down in New Orleans. It can be a terrorist attack. Like took place at the Boston Marathon and other places, the World Trade Center. But first responders, typically, they include folks like paramedics. And we know that. And you have these t-shirts that says first responder. They have the emergency medical technician. These are the EMTs. And, of course, you have the police officers and the fire department, the firemen, and other rescue personnel. They're trained for the purpose of being ready to assist those who are in danger. They're trained to help protect lives, to serve, to rescue folks, and to save lives. That's what first responders do. Now, often first responders take an oath. Now, not all of them, but most public servants take some kind of oath of office. It pledges like an allegiance to the Constitution of the United States of America or to the state in which they take a particular office, and they say we swear or we affirm that we're going to uphold the our Constitution of the United States of America or our domestic Constitution, our state Constitution against all enemies. It says foreign enemies, domestic enemies, and so they take some type of oath of office before they actually start to perform their duties. And I read a fireman's prayer. It says like this. When I'm called to duty, this is a fireman's firefighter's prayer. When I'm called to duty, God, whatever flames may rage, give me strength to save a life. Whatever be its age, help me to embrace a little child before it's too late. Or save an older person from the horror of this fate. Talking about the flames of a fire. EMTs have a pledge where they say, be it players and EMT, I will honor the physical and judicial laws of God and man. In whatever home I enter, I will go in into them for, he says this, for the benefit of only the sick and the injured. Never revealing what I see or hear in the lives of men unless required by law. That's a pledge that emergency medical technicians often quote or they take to heart. Police officers, they're sworn in and they swear that they're going to defend the Constitution of the state and of the state in which they are part of. And all of these first responders have to undergo some type of training to be qualified to be a police officer, a paramedic, an emergency medical technician. You're not going to be any of these first responders without some training.
You're not going to be a police officer without some training. You're not going to be an emergency medical technician without some training. You're not going to be a paramedic without some training. Listen, and the only difference between a paramedic and an emergency medical technician is the time of training. For example, EMTs is about 120 to 150 hours of specialized training. For paramedics, it goes between 1,200 and 1,800 hours of specialized training to be a paramedic. And some places require a little bit more than just a high school education. Some require degrees and associate degrees and things of that nature. But when we look at some of the basic facts now, in Matthew chapter 4, it says this, verse number 18. And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, Jesus was about to start training some first responders. See, these men, he said, and when he called them, notice what happened. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And verse 1 says, and straightway left they their nets, and straightway it said they left their nets and followed him. They responded to his call. They were first responders. We're going to find out that these disciples, these apostles later on, they were the first responders to the call of the Lord. So when we look at some basic facts about the Lord's plan to train some first responders, I'm going to share with you three thoughts when I get to that point about three things that Jesus looked for and that we need to look for in first responders. And if you're going to be spiritual first responders, see, we look at some basic facts about how the Lord trained his responders for the emergency situation that confronts all of us. See, there's an emergency situation that you heard about that confronts every lost sinner. People that you know every day. See, the world is in an emergency situation. It's in real danger. People are going to suffer. People are going to die unless first responders show up. You understand what I'm saying? See, if first responders don't show up, I read about the fire in, I think, Yarnell, Arizona, a number of years ago, June 28th it started, I think, 2017, 7 years ago, 19 firefighters perished, the Granite Mountain firefighters perished in that fire where it burned thousands of acres of land. See, if first responders don't show up, people die. But sometimes first responders themselves might die because they're there to save lives, to help. So look with me now. There's an emergency situation faces all of humanity. And this is it. All men are sinners, subject to the wages of sin, which is death. And will spend an eternity in a place called hell unless they are rescued by some spiritual first responders. We need some spiritual first responders. And when the call goes out, and the call is still going out, and the Lord is still walking by the way, and he's still calling men, women, boys and girls, and he needs some folks that I'll respond to the call. Immediately, they responded to the call. Let me ask you a question. You heard a message on hell on Wednesday night about how horrible a place that is. A real place for real people. Only one real remedy. Jesus Christ, the gospel message you have. Some of you have grown up hearing this message from childhood. Some of you were born and you went to the, you grew up in church and in your mother's womb, you were hearing the gospel message preached as your parents came to church. And you were born and went to the nursery where there was scripture on the wall. And God is saying, you've been privileged to be in the church of God for all your life. Will you be a first responder? Because, listen, there's an emergency situation. It faces all of humanity. People are going to die and go to hell unless we get some spiritual first responders. Now, these 12 disciples were personally called by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to do something for me, if you will. And you'll find that in Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 3, Luke chapter 6 and Acts chapter 1. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 10 for a moment. You can find that the names of all the 12 disciples are mentioned in these four places in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 10. So now the name of the 12, verse 2. And when he had called on him, his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses, all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname is Thaddeus, was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Also, look with me, if you will, in Mark chapter 3, verse 16, quickly. Now, all I'm showing you is the same thing, but I want you to notice something here in a few moments. Mark chapter 3. Verse 16. Verse 14 says that he prayed all night there. He prayed, and because it says enough, he prayed all night. And he ordained 12, verse 14, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Verse number 16. And Simon, his surname Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And then he says, and Andrew, and Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, they went into an house. And then also Luke chapter 6, if you will, Luke chapter 6 for a moment. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse number 13. He went into a mountain to pray. He continued all night in prayer. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says here in verse number 13, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, who he also named Peter and Andrew. And it goes through the whole list again. Then look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 13. Acts 1 and verse number 13. I like that. Hear that sound? Look at there. Acts 1, verse 13. And whenever come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. And so in those four places now, you have all the disciples that are listed that Jesus called. But I want you to notice, back in Matthew chapter 4, chapter 10, in all of those places, if you read carefully, and I'm going to explain this to you, you find that the very first name in each one of those lists is who? Peter. You find it in Matthew chapter 10, it says this. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter. Jesus gave him the name The Rock. Jesus gave him a nickname. It was called The Rock. He was called The Rock. Because he was not The Rock when Jesus met him, but by the time Jesus got finished, he said in Matthew 4:19, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." See, what Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He said, if you follow me, he said, listen, come, get behind me, and follow me. He said, and I will make you, I will cause you to become what you cannot become on your own. See, Peter could not be a rock. Peter could not be faithful. Peter could not be steady. Peter could not be a first responder unless Jesus made him a fisher of men. He says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. The word fisher has a connotation of being a seaman, a sailor. It means to make one salty. It means that he said, I'm going to do in your life, Peter, and I'm going to do in your life as a first responder, I'm going to do in your life things that's going to make other folks thirsty for what you have. You understand what he's saying? He said, I'm going to make you a fisher. He said, I'm going to do something in your life that when people look at you, when they look upon you, when they see you, they're going to know that you've been with me. It's going to cause them to be thirsty for what you have. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Now listen, you're going to learn later on that Peter became a fisher of men. We look later on in the scripture. The Bible says he was given the kingdom to the keys to the kingdom. You find out he opened the door to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 and 11, to the Gentiles with Cornelius. Peter was the one to preach those messages. 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost. Cornelius, a Gentile. Cornelius was a Gentile, Roman, Italian soldier that was saved as a result of Peter preaching the word of God in his house. Now listen to it carefully. Matthew chapter 4, it says this. Straightway, immediately, they dropped their nets, they left their nets, and they followed him. They were first, listen, Peter was the first responder. Now listen to me carefully. He didn't ask how much it's going to cost. What my mom and dad think. Now you need to be careful about what your mom and dad think. But when the Lord calls, you need also to help mom and dad understand that God is working in your heart. And if you don't think that God is calling teenagers to the gospel ministry, there's some boys that God has called to the gospel ministry. Listen, but you won't respond. There's some young ladies that God is calling to be involved in ministry, but you won't respond. And listen, I'm going to say again, listen, there's an emergency situation at hand. The whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. Everywhere you look, there's danger. Maybe sitting right beside you in the pew, there might be somebody that's yet lost. And unless you get some first responders to show up, somebody's going to suffer. Somebody's going to get hurt. And somebody's going to die. And whoever dies goes to heaven or hell. And that's everybody at some point in time. First responder. Now, let's look quickly here. I got three thoughts. And I think I got enough time to give you all three of them without running too much trouble. The 12 disciples were called by the Lord. But notice, they responded voluntarily. You see, police officers are not recruited. It's not mandated you have to be a police officer. It's not mandated you have to be a fireman. The Constitution says every male is going to be a firefighter. Every male is going to be a police officer. Women too. He said, listen, you volunteer for that. You don't have to be an EMT. You don't have to be a paramedic. Do you realize that you just decide you want to do that? You volunteer for that. See, first responders, we need some spiritual first responders say, hey, here am I. I'm volunteer. He said, when God calls, he says, immediately, straightway, I want to be one of them. You have anybody like that here? We heard a stirring message on hell. And then judgment. And you can be sure by the resurrection of Christ that the world is going to be judged. We need some first responders to say, listen, there's an emergency going on. And I need to help. People are going to die. I'm concerned about that. They responded voluntarily. They responded immediately. They were being trained for the work of spreading the gospel of the kingdom upon the foundation of the New Testament church that was built upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who said, upon this rock I will build my church. Listen, Jesus is the builder of the church, the disciples of the first century, and we are now the building block. Peter said, we are the living, we are the lively stone. Today, those of you who have been born again by the Spirit of God, baptized in the local New Testament church, you are the building block, you are the living stone, the lively stone that God said, listen, ye also are a living stone, lively stone. He said, you have built up a spiritual house. For this reason, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He said, I'm looking for some first responders to say, I want to volunteer. I want to volunteer. I want to do it now. Listen, the best time to serve God is right now. The best time to respond is right now. You may not have another opportunity. I tell folk all the time, listen, the best time to serve God is right now. Say, well, I'll do it next week. I'm only 13 right now. I'm only 8 years old. Right now, the best time for you to serve God. Right now is the best time for you to respond. Right now is the best time for you to hold up and say, I want to be a first responder. Right now. Right now. Listen, There's some young folk here got saved when they were 4 or 5 years old. I have a son here. He got saved when he was 5 years old. Listen, he's here today, but he knows he's a born-again believer by the grace of God. Surrender to preach. August 13, 2006, I think it was. Listen, but he got saved at 5. I got a son, 31 years old. Got saved. He surrendered to preach at Solid Rock Baptist Church, July 2010. Surrendered to preach. Got saved when you were a teenager. Listen, it's time to respond immediately. See, we're fit to frame together, the Bible tells us. We're being built together. We're the habitation of God. We're the temple of God. Now, from a human perspective, I want you to think with me for just the next moments or so. The importance and the significance and the impact of Christ training these first responders. In the history, the success of these men that says they volunteered immediately, but the success of reaching humanity with the gospel of Christ rested on these men. Listen, Peter was just an ordinary fisherman of his day. A lot of people fish. He was in business of fishing. But he wasn't anything special necessarily. He just, when God called, he says, I want to go. And he dropped his nets. Listen, God can use you. He can use anybody that would simply say, I want to be a first responder. Here am I volunteer. Right now, I want to volunteer. He'll use you. Think about it. He'll use you. Right now. He gave them instruction in godly living. He taught them scripture, theology, taught them about the future. He said, listen, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be condemned. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be raised from the grave. He kept telling them the same thing over and over. He gave them power to be used as instruments to cast out demons, to heal sicknesses. He taught them how to pray. Taught them how to forgive. Taught them about humility. Now, if they fail, listen to them carefully. If they fail, no second string, no backup plan, no plan B. These first of all, they had to succeed. So they needed some training. So you go into a dangerous situation without training. I remember I was in the United States Air Force, and I remember I was in telecommunication, but I remember in basic training, we had it was called dry fire. And then we would have live fire after that at one point in basic training. And dry fire simply meant you got your weapon, you got your M16 at that time, and you would load it up, and they would put you on these different prone positions, and you had these different positions, and you had these targets out front of you, and you had to hit your target. And I remember we came to live fire time, and I remember we had a guy got skittish, and you weren't going to point your weapon at anybody, had to keep it at a certain level, and things like not pointing at anybody. And I remember this guy, he got freaked out, he jumped up out of the lateral position on the ground there, on the prone position, and he had his M16 like this, and man, like you should have seen those instructors. They bailed on him, and they said, ceasefire, ceasefire! And they would say, red on the right, red on the left, red on the firing line! And they would start, and boy, this guy got up there, and he would, listen, they tackled him, and got him down, and everybody getting down low, because they didn't want him to, listen, this guy was in training. And listen, if he didn't get it right in training, they didn't want him on the battlefield. He was going to kill all of his comrades. He can kill all of us in basic training. So he ended up not staying around too long because they had to take him out for some mental things, make sure he was okay. And he said, this ain't for me. So, and listen, that's the way it is. It is in basic training. Sometimes it's not for you. And listen, but they'll let, pretty soon you'll find out whether it is or not, because you will have to go through some training. And to be a paramedic, to be a firefighter, police officer, EMT, SWAT, whatever it is, if they're going to rescue you, save you, protect you, they have to be trained to be good first responders. Because they don't want to die themselves, and they don't want you to die. So notice, if they fail, no second string. See, when those firefighters at the Granite Mountain went into that fire, and if they did something wrong or whatever the case might have been, and things didn't work out the way, they died. 19 of them. I looked at the names this morning. 19 top-notch hot shot, they called themselves firefighters, died and perished in that Yarnell Hills, Arizona fire. It wasn't because they weren't trained. Just that sometimes that's what happens to first responders. Now, we know the greatest first responder, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died to save you and to save me. And you know what he's doing? He says, I died to save you. And I'm looking for somebody that you might die to yourself to save others. First responders. Now, the name of the 12 disciples, we saw it in Matthew chapter 10, and we saw it in Mark 3 and Luke and Acts. Now, in each one of those lists, you find that the same names are mentioned there. Now, there are three different groups there. We won't look at all of them, but there are three groups. In the first group, you have Peter, Andrew, and James. That's the first group. You always have, when you look at that list, you read that list, they're always in that order. Peter, Andrews, and James. Peter is mentioned first in all four lists. And in Matthew 10, it says, and the first, Simon Peter. In group two, you got Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas, Matthew. They're all, listen, in the group two, you all got the same people. Now, they might be in different orders in that group. You might have Andrew before, Thomas before Matthew, or Nathaniel before Philip. But the point is, they're always in that order. Philip is the leader of that second group. And then you have the third group. You got James, the son of Alphaeus. And then you have Simon the Zealot, and you have Judas Iscariot. And you find out that James, the son of Alphaeus, is always the leader of the third group. So what that shows us is simply this. That each one of those groups of Jesus' first responders had some leadership. In the first group, you had Peter. The second group, you had Philip. And the third group, you had James, the son of Alphaeus. And listen, whenever you read the script, you're going to find it just like that. Listen, you know why? It's never going to change. It's going to be just like that. And now what I want to draw your attention to this morning is simply this. To one of those first responders, and I want you to see that among those disciples, among those 12 disciples, the first in all four lists is Peter. He's mentioned first in all four lists. Now, Jesus trained Peter to be a leader, nicknamed him Rock. Called him Cephas, which is the Aramaic for the rock. Now, he was called Rock. He wasn't like this mass, this boulder. He wasn't the rock. Jesus, upon this rock, he's talking about himself. He said, Peter, you're going to be a rock. You're going to be a little stone, a piece of rock. He said, I'm going to be a master rock. He said, but listen to me carefully. I want you to notice three qualities or three thoughts about Peter that Jesus knew about him, but took time to train him to be a first responder. Now, listen to me carefully. In the gospel accounts, the first thing that Peter did, you find out Peter asked questions. Listen to me, young people. When I was a teen pastor, a youth pastor, I would see where young people sat in church, not in a youth conference because you sat everywhere, but I would watch if there was not a designated spot assigned by the pastor or the youth pastor for them to sit, I would watch where the teenagers sat in church. Those that sat in the back and messed around and did whatever they wanted to do, sat by their girlfriend and boyfriends. I would love them and pray for them, but I look for those that were asking spiritual questions. I look for that phone call that says, Pastor Siebel, Brother Siebel, can you tell me what this means? You know why? Because those are the ones that you can make leaders in the house of God. That when you ask spiritual questions, you're interested in spiritual things. Let me say it again. When you ask spiritual questions, you're interested in spiritual things. But when you're asking about, how do you get to this level on this game? I heard Brother Charles talking about Fortnite. Most of you know what Fortnite is, and some of you may not. I learned what it is, know what it is. But some kid won $3 million playing Fortnite. They're going to have a competition, I think, internationally, or maybe might even become a part of Olympics games or something called the gaming. So they're going to make this thing huge. Listen to me carefully. A kid won $3 million. They interviewed one of them that won $1 million. He was 24 years old. And the one that won the biggest prize was like 16. They make a lot of money on Fortnite. But I learned something about Fortnite. I invested in it. You know why? I found out who the holding company is. It's a company called Tencent. Tencent's holding. You just buy their shares because, listen, the game is so popular that everybody is selling billions. See, I don't play Fortnite, but I know how to use it. Peter asked questions. See, in the gospel account, Peter asked more questions than all the disciples combined. Peter wanted to know what was going on. Listen, he wanted to be engaged. Listen, first responders, listen, when you go to the scene, I read today, when you go to the scene, your risk assessment, you find out what's going on. 911 call. You get all that, get 911, risk assessment. Then you got the ABCs. You look for the airway, make sure the pressure and the breathing. If you got the B, he's breathing. Look for circulation. You're trying to keep a body alive if there's a danger of death there. So you go through all the protocol, the first procedure there as a first responder. Now, so Peter asked, he said, I want to know what's going on. So when you get there, the first one, what's going on? What's happening here? You're looking around, trying to find out what's going on so you can know how to help. That's what first responder do. He was eager to examine, investigate. Listen, at the transfiguration, I remember Peter said, Lord, it's good that we'd be here. Should I build, if you will, 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses, one for Elijah? The voice of God came and said, listen, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. So Peter asked questions. Look in Matthew chapter 15. Turn with me, please. Matthew 15. He wanted to know how to help. He asked questions in difficult sayings. Listen, young people, do you ask your pastor, your youth pastor, about things you read in the Word of God that you don't quite understand? Man, listen, I can tell you. My children have asked me questions. My daughter has asked me questions about things that she didn't understand as she was doing a devotion, reading the Word of God. My sons have asked me questions about things they read in the Word of God. They've asked me questions and about spiritual things. Listen, and as a parent, as a father, as a preacher, I'm glad that they're asking questions about spiritual things. You know why? They want to learn. I mean, I had my oldest son call when he studied, prepared, preaching the Word of God. He preaches better than I do and studies. And he called, asked me a question about certain things to make sure he had clarity on these things. Those are spiritual questions. And not that they're not reading the Word of God, don't know the Word of God, but they're getting some clarity on some things. I called Pastor Kenny several years back. I said, Pastor Kenny, I got this man in the church. And he said this, what do you think about this? No, it's not that I hadn't studied, didn't know. I was just trying to get some clarity and get some help and get somebody else to read the Word of God and study the Word. I want to know. Peter said, I'm going to ask some questions. I've called about a question about repentance and staying on things of that nature. And I called another man, Dr. Elstock, and we were talking about some things. Listen, I'm asking spiritual questions because I want to know. See, first of all, you need to know. You need to know what's going on, why it's going on, how it's going to affect you, who's hurt. Listen, in chapter 15, Jesus relates how these Pharisees and Sadducees were using the Word of God and tradition of men and making void the Word of God. And so he tells this story. He relates here, the disciples going out, they're eating, and it says in verse number 3, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? They had asked Jesus' disciples, says, Lord, so listen, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And so Jesus said to them, listen, why do ye transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? And he tells them that the God had commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father, his mother, it is a gift, or it is Corbin, it says in the book of Mark. But whosoever thou mightest be a prophet by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. And basically what's happening there is simply this. Young people, and those you may know, you may not know, but the point is this. The Pharisees and Sadducees, or the scribes, whoever that operated the temple, the law says, honor your father and mother in the book of Exodus, in the Ten Commandments. Where in order not to take care of their aging mothers and fathers, what the Pharisees would do, they would dedicate this gift, they would call it Corban, or something that's dedicated to the Lord. Mark calls it Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N. They would dedicate it to the temple, or dedicate it to the Lord. And now, because it's dedicated to the Lord, it could not be used for any other purposes. But what they were doing, they would call themselves dedicated to the Lord, and they were funneling it to themselves, and they couldn't take care of their aging mom and dads. So they were making their traditions to vacate or to make void the commandments of God. And so the Lord was calling them on that. And it says, ye hypocrites, verse 7. Where did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And always when I read that, I say, a red hot lips and stone cold hearts. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called them out and said to them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that this defiles a man. They were saying, listen, because the disciples, your disciple Jesus, listen, your disciple, they're eating with unwashed hands. They have defiled the house of God. They're defiled the temple. They're eating with defiled hands. And so the Lord was teaching the disciples, listen, it's not what a man puts in him through his mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out of his heart that defiles him. And so when they were offended a little bit about that, and of course the Lord didn't care. He said, let the blind lead the blind. They both fall into the ditch. But it says here, and in verse 15, then Peter said unto him, answered, said, declare unto us this parable. See, listen, what I'm saying is, first responders ask questions. You have to. Do you ask questions about spiritual things? It shows a spiritual interest. Peter asked in Matthew chapter 18, you can turn there, verse 21 and follow. He says, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Till 7 times? Peter asked that question. He wanted to know. He said, listen, this guy's sinned against me 5 times, 10 times. How many times am I going to forgive him? So the Lord had to teach him. See, he was teaching him spiritual principles, understanding forgiveness and humility and love and all these things. He says, how often shall I forgive? Till 7 times? The Lord said, till 7 times 7. He said, no. He said, listen, as long as somebody sins against you and offends you, as long as forgiveness is asked for, it is to be granted by those who offend. You're to exercise forgiveness. You're to expect it. You can be excluded from it. But he said, listen. Peter asked that question. He asked, listen, look in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Turn there. In 19:27, he said, listen, Lord, we've forsaken all. We've given up everything for you. Our jobs, our families, our home, our careers. We've forsaken all. He said, now, Lord, therefore, what shall we have? Peter asked question. Peter said, what's in it for me? Hey, listen, I'm left my fishing business, left my job, left everything. What am I going to gain from this? Now, it sounds like a selfish question, but listen. He says, I've fallen all. I've forsaken all. He wanted to know. What I'm telling you is this. He asked questions. In John chapter 20, he asked about when Jesus had resurrected, and Jesus, one of the disciples leaned on Jesus' bosom. He said, Peter, this is how long you're going to live, and somebody going to have to gird you, and you won't be able to gird yourself. And then the one that leaned on his bosom, he says, and listen, and what about this one over here? And the Lord said, listen, don't worry about him. He said, you just follow me. See, but Peter was asking questions all the time. Listen, if you read through the gospel account, you can find that Peter asked more questions than all the other 11 disciples combined. Think about it. Number two, first responders. Volunteer immediately, ask questions. But he also answered questions. Matthew chapter 16, Peter not only asked questions, he answered questions. Listen, at least he looked for answers. In Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus' ministry was flourishing and there was great opposition against him, and when you read the Gospel of Matthew, keep in mind that it's written for the purpose of proving that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the purpose of it being written. He says, in every chapter, talks about the fact that he is the Son of God. Chapter 1, the genealogy, his birth narrative, chapter 2, the baptism, chapter 4, he goes into temptation, chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 8, 9, and 10, these miracle after miracle, opposition, chapter 11 and 12 and 13, and then he tells the kingdom of the parables, and chapter 14, he's doing miracle feet, 5,000 feet of 4,000, chapter 16, by the time we get there, he said, listen, the Jews said, show us a sign. He said, I've been showing you signs for the last 15 chapters. I just fed 5,000, 4,000 men besides women and children. And even the adulterous generation looked for a sign. But by the time you get to chapter 16, verse 13, he said, listen, he gets to Caesarea Philippi, he said, listen, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they started giving answers. Some Oh, it might be John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or maybe it's Elias or Elijah. So maybe one of the other prophets. And he said, now, he was saying, that's what the people are saying. Then he turned to his disciples that walked with him, worked with him, and seen him, and prayed with him, and been taught by him. He said, listen, Simon Peter, disciple, first responder. He says, whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter, of all the disciples, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16, 18 there. And Jesus said, listen, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Peter asked him, when all the other disciples there, they were trying to decide, is he the Christ or not? I've seen all these miracles, but I'm not sure. Some people say he is, some people say he's not. Is he God or not? Is he the Christ or not? Is he the Son of Man or not? Is he God or not? Peter said, he's God. He answered. See, Peter now don't ask questions. As the first responder, you have to start answering some questions. Look on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. There was this outpouring of the Spirit of God had been promised throughout the gospel accounts, and every gospel account, the outpouring of the Spirit of God had been promised. Now on the day of Pentecost, it's been prophesied, been previewed. Now it's being performed. He said, listen to me carefully. And in Acts chapter 2, and they were asking Peter, they were in doubt about what was going on. They were amazed and doubt what had happened. And so they asked in Acts chapter 2, verse 12, it says, oh, what meaneth this? Now notice in Acts chapter 2, if you will, Acts 2, verse 12. They're saying, what's happening here? What is this outpouring of the Spirit of God? How is it that we hear every man in our own language, which is where we were born? We got all these 16 different nationalities, different nations of people, Jewish nations from different from around the known world of the day. They come into the feast of Pentecost, and they heard the wonderful works of God in their own language. And the people were amazed, and they were in doubt, saying in verse number 13, others mocked, saying, these men are full of new wine. But Peter says, verse 12 says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? But Peter, standing up, lifting up his voice. Now listen, there are 11 other disciples around. At least 10, 11. It's 12 now. You got Matthias, he's been picked up, I think, by this time. And so now, like in church sometimes, we're afraid to answer. We don't know if we got the answer right or not. Who in the Bible did this? 30 kids. Everybody afraid to answer. Peter said, not me. You don't know what it means? Peter, I've been reading my scroll. You don't know what it means? So he went to the book of Psalm, of Joel chapter 2 and Psalm 14 and Psalm 110. And he preached to them about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he finished preaching, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know what Peter said? I got an answer. Repent and be baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. He said, you want to know what it means? He told them what it means. And then said, after he told them what it means, they said, well, then what shall we do? So you need some answers. See, when you tell them who Jesus is and what it means to you that he died on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried and raised from the grave. So, well, I know that. Now, so what does it mean? You got to have an answer. First responders, you must have an answer. You are the first responders. You are the church. You're the one that this emergency situation is at hand in your generation. Listen, in a little while, by the grace of God, and I pray that I be for a while longer than what I am, but one day I'm going to be fading off the scene, going off into glory, excited about seeing the Lord that have saved my soul and trusting that I've done, could have done better than what I've done. But listen, it's going to happen, and somebody's going to have to be standing right here at a youth conference preaching. Which one of you young fellas is going to do that? Who's going to take Pastor Kenny's place someday at Crossroads Baptist Church? His dad was here for 30 years. Somebody had to take his place. I've been in Hampton Roads 21 years. Somebody's going to have to take my place. Hey, Pastor Kenny Simmons down at Harvard, somebody's going to have to take his place. Now, he's a bit younger. Pastor Kendall Rick Younger, but somebody's going to have to take their place someday. If the Lord should turn his coming, we're going to need somebody to volunteer and stand up and speak up. We're going to need somebody to say, hey, I'll be a first responder. There's an emergency on the scene. All of humanity is at stake. Souls are going to die. Moms and dads and sisters and brothers and uncles and aunts and cousins and my best friend. It's an emergency. And I want to do something to see them saved. Hell is still hot, still a real place. That rich man is still there. Judgment is still coming on all those who don't know Christ. First responders, he answered questions. Listen, on the day of Pentecost, he said, I'll tell you what it means. He said, Jesus Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember that story in the Garden of Gethsemane there? Maybe no. Let's go back. Let's go here. At the healing of the lame man, Acts chapter 3, you there? This man had been lame from the mother's womb for 40 years. Peter and John came by, saw him, laying at the gate of the temple there, and wanted some alms, and said, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man went to walking and leaping and praising God into the temple. And of course, they got into all kinds of trouble because they were preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. And when you get down to Acts chapter 4, they've been arrested, locked up. Now they've been set free, brought to sit down in the midst of the Sanhedrin council that had the authority to pronounce judgment or death upon them. And they asked Peter, said, listen, Peter, hey, listen, apostles, set them in the midst. Acts chapter 4, set them down in the midst. In verse 7 and 6, 7 there, it said, listen. And they asked them, by what authority? By what name? By whose power have you done these things? And Peter says, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he says, in being known. Well, let's read what he said. Look at Acts chapter 4. This is what he said. I tell you now, he asked questions, but he also answered questions. In Acts chapter 4, it says this, verse number 6. And Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and the men that were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, this is Peter and the apostle, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we be this day examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name, or by the power, or by the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. He said, listen, you want to know by what power? You want to know where I get the authority to be a first responder? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen, if you're a born again believer, you have the authority of Almighty God to tell everybody you meet about who he is and what he's tasked for you to do. Do y'all believe that there is really an emergency? We're going to find out in, before we leave here today and maybe back in our hometown area, somebody's going to die. Maybe somebody went to your church, went to my church, went to the church where you are. And we won't know whether those folks went to heaven or hell. And listen, we can't reach everybody in our city like we want to, but we sure ought to be trying to do as much as we can to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in the midst. And then lastly, Peter, he asked questions. He answered questions. But listen, Peter was not just an asker and an answerer of questions. Peter was a man of action. See, a first responder, you can't just go, what's going on? Look at it. Take a risk assessment. I see the danger. I see what's happening. This is what you ought to do. You should do that. Listen, they don't just tell you what to do. Peter got busy doing something. See, Peter was a man of action as well. Listen, see, first responders, they ask questions, they answer questions, and then they take action. Look with me in Matthew chapter 14 for a moment. In Matthew chapter 14, this is the story where Peter walked on water. Now, when I think about that, and it doesn't affect us a whole lot because we read the story, we read the gospel account, we know it happened, and we believe it's true for those of us who believe the word of God, and many of us in here, most of us do. But in Matthew chapter 14, after defeating of the 5,000, Jesus sent them to go in a ship into the other side of the sea there. And so, as they went there, and now in verse number 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus commanded his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when they sent the multitudes away, they had fed these 5,000 there with the 2 loaves of fishes. And when Eve was come, he was there alone," verse 24, "but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, and he said, Come. Notice what happened. And when Peter would come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now you think about it. Say, well, yeah, but he got scared and the wind got boisterous and he cried out and Jesus had to save him. But listen to me carefully. It might have been a brief walk, but who else do you know that walked on water besides Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ? Does the Bible give, Brother Ken, I'm asking you, does the Bible give us any other account about walking on water? In it, Pastor, you got any other accounts in the Word of God? Anybody else walking on water besides Jesus and the Apostle Peter? See, Peter wasn't just a man of answers and asking. Peter was a man that took action. He said, hey, Lord, if you, I'm walking on the water. Man, I could imagine it. I mean, this is amazing to me. He walked on water. He got out of the boat. Brief, but he walked on water. In the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew chapter 26, you turn there, you find they were praying, and of course, this is where he was going to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And here it comes now, in Matthew 26, and in Mark 14, and Luke 22, you find the account where they come with an army of swords and staves, and they come, and listen, and Peter is there, and when Malchus comes, John tells us, the man by the name of Malchus, one of the servants of the high priest, and when he comes and to arrest Jesus and to take Jesus, it said that Peter with a sword takes it and goes, yum. Now keep in mind, I want you to understand how that works. When they came, in all three accounts in the gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says there was a great multitude with swords and staves. A staff. Listen, you read it. Great multitude. The Roman army, oftentimes when they had a detachment, it was about 600 ready to battle soldiers. Think about that, young men. 600 ready to fight soldiers. And here's Peter. Takes out his sword. What are you going to do, behead 600 soldiers one at a time? But listen. He says, they're not taking my Lord without a fight. Now, it might not have been the right thing to do, because the Lord rebuked him for it, and basically, listen, put the man's ear back on, heal the man's ear. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 22:51, I think it is. He healed the man, Malchus's ear, put it back on, and healed it, and went on. But the point of it is this. He said, listen, if they're going to take the Lord, they got to take me. That's a man of action. 600 soldiers. How would you like the odds 600-1? Who do you think is going to win? He said, well, I might not win, but I'm going to fight. Because he knew who he was fighting for. And where he was fighting from. And the last thing I want to mention to you about Peter being a man of action is simply this. When Peter, Matthew 26, the last few verses, chapter, verse 56 and following, Mark, Peter was, and one other disciple followed Jesus to the high priest's house to see what was going to happen. And the Bible said that he followed him afar off. Matthew 26, Mark. Said they followed him afar. But listen to me carefully. The Bible also says this in Matthew 26. Look with me there. In verse number 56. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Not just Peter. Peter denied him 3 times before the cock crowed. But it says that all the disciples fled and forsook him. But when Jesus turned around and looked, he could look dead in Peter's eyes. See, Peter was close enough to the Lord, even when all the other disciples had forsook him, that the Lord could look him in his eyes. And he wept bitterly
because he denied three times that he knew the Lord. He might have fallen far off, but he was closer than the rest of the disciples. The rest of them fled. He was close enough to see Jesus. Close enough for Jesus to look in his eyes and cause him to grieve and weep because he had denied his Lord. He was concerned about what he had done because this was a first responder. He volunteered immediately. Asked questions. Answered questions. Took action. Because there's an emergency situation. And I'm telling you, church. I'm telling you, young people. We need some first responders. Now, first responders volunteer. They ask questions. They answer questions. They take action. They must be willing to surrender, suffer, sacrifice. And the Bible says in some places, die. If any man will follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, the last thought I want you to leave with is this. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to come down into a sin-cursed world. To be beaten, spat upon, bruised, battered, opposed, rejected. When the Lord looked for somebody to say, I need somebody to be a body. He said, Hebrews said, the body has thou prepared me. He said, lo, in the volume of the book, I come. He said, I delight to do thy will. He was the first responders for God the Father. He said, now, will you be a first responder for the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe God is still calling men, women, and young people to respond to the call for an emergency situation that we need help and people are dying and you are the first responders that he's calling. The question is this. Are you going to respond voluntarily, immediately? Are you going to take action to help to keep people out of this horrible place called hell that Brother Skelly preached about on Wednesday night? And keep them from the judgment of the world that Brother Clark preached on last night. First responders, they ask questions, they answer questions, and they take action. Father, we thank you, we praise you. Help us, I pray, to speak to the hearts of these your saints. Help me, Lord, to learn to be quick to respond to the word of God, the things of God. And we'll praise you for all you do in each of our lives. As we give ourselves continually to you, in Jesus' name we pray.